Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 28, 2022. And today we are reading from the big book. We're in the Roman numeral section, the doctor's opinion. And in the fourth edition, we're on page XXXI, reading the first two paragraphs today, beginning with what is the solution and ending with no return to alcohol. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry H., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R., reading the text and support this morning, Penny L.C., Stephanie L., Jody E., and then newcomer greeters at the end of the meeting, so don't go anywhere. Lorraine N. has stepped in to help us today and given the announcements at the top of the hour is Robin P. Stay for the entire hour. You don't want to miss a thing. No FOMO here. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Thursday Big Book Study meeting is 18888, 18,888. And then this morning's share ID number, it would be for Thursday, April 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, 18894, 18894. And that happened just before now, and it's a two-hour meeting. You don't want to miss that one if you can catch it every once in a while. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. from Florida to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melody. Thank you for all the service you do. This is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, came willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service during the month of April. April. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry H. from Florida. Very much. I will now ask Rhonda R. from Georgia to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please practice using the star 1 key function only for muting. Appreciate that gesture. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the section of the Roman numerals. We're on page XXXI in the fourth edition. You'll find us there, studying paragraph 1 and 2. And it begins with, what is the solution? And then ends with, no return to alcohol. And I'd like to ask Penny L.C. to please read those two passages for us today and pull out of there the directions for recovery that she applies to her life. And then we'll move on to opening up for additional comments. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. What is the solution? Perhaps I can best answer this by relating one of my experiences. About 1 year prior to this experience, a man was brought in to be treated for chronic alcoholism. He had but partially recovered from a gastric hemorrhage and seemed to be a case of pathological mental deterioration. He had lost everything worthwhile in life and was only living, one might say, to drink. He frankly admitted and believed that for him there was no hope. Following the elimination of alcohol, there was found to be no permanent brain injury. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. 1 year later, he called to see me, and I experienced a very strange sensation. I knew the man by name and partly recognized his features, but there all resemblance ended. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. I talked with him for some time, but was not able to bring myself to feel that I had known him before. To me, he was a stranger, and so he left me. A long time has passed with no return to alcohol. So just to put this in perspective, this is Dr. Silkworth sharing about one of his patients and how he experienced this person. And the person that is being referred to, just for context, is Henry P. He's the author of The Two Employers in the back of the book on page 136. And when I look at this description of this gentleman, I think about what is a pathological mental deterioration and the cause and the effect of alcoholism. You know, it's that process of becoming progressively worse, you know, that deterioration of my mind, and not to mention my physical well-being, as experienced by this gentleman as well. And he even went, you know, he took his health down a road of even having a gastric hemorrhage, which I don't know exactly what that would entail. I've not had that experience or that knowledge, but I do know that it sounds fairly serious, and yet that wasn't enough to have him, you know, decide to stop drinking. And the same way for my experience, I had had cancer, and it went from the original cancer to 3 years later metastasizing and ending up at a stage four. By God's grace, I was brought through that. And that is, you know, in my past of 25 years ago. However, that was not sufficient to stop the abuse of me ingesting more than my body needed of my binge foods. And the same way, it wasn't enough when this fellow had his gastric hemorrhage, and it was not enough to stop him from picking up another drink. And yet, with seemingly, you know, no hope, and that's how I felt before coming to this program. I had no hope, as this gentleman did. However, offered this solution, right? He was offered it, and as it says here, accepted it, you know, was willing to follow this plan outlined in this book, as I chose to as well, when I finally decided to surrender my will. And he did recover completely, and what a miracle, to the point where he wasn't even hardly recognizable. And I pray that's what is my outcome as well. And I just want to say that the solution is here, and it does offer a way of life that can change us miraculously. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. from Washington, for getting us started today. For those that are just coming in, we are on page XXXI, Roman numerals, in the fourth edition, The Doctor's Opinion. We're reading the first two paragraphs today, taking those apart for direction, beginning with what is the solution and ending with no return to alcohol. And although we do value everyone's experience and your testimonies, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So with that in mind, if you would give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and state, I'll take down the lineup to be able to comment on those two paragraphs.
Tamara J.
Z in Pennsylvania.
Kathleen O. Tamara and somebody from, is that Beth V from Pennsylvania?
That's correct.
And Kathleen
That's
O.
Beth V, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Joanne B.
Texas. Joanne B. Texas.
Kathleen O.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I got you, Kathleen. Thank you.
Okay. Linda B.
Linda B. Is that our lineup for now? Okay. Tamara J. from California, Beth B. from Pennsylvania, Kathleen O. from California, Joanne B. from Texas, and Linda B. from Canada, I believe. So, Tamara, you're up first, followed by Beth. Your 3 minutes.
Well, hi, good morning. I'm Tamara J. from California. And when I came to a vision for you, I wasn't sure this was going to work for me. I'd spent about 30, 35 years starting and stopping, coming in and out of this program with no success. But I've been here a little over a year, and today I can finally say I'm seeing some positive changes. And although I am a chronic relapser, I now have hope. It's like, why do I have it? Well, I accepted the plan in this book. I finally decided that, like you, I could do it too. So if you knew, just keep coming back. You know, you can have it too. If you're struggling, whatever you do, don't leave 5 minutes before your miracle. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara J. from California. Next up is Beth V. from Pennsylvania, and then Kathleen, you'll follow her. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. My name is Beth V., as in Victor, from Pennsylvania. I'm gratefully recovered today and really glad to be on the line. This is a really powerful couple of paragraphs, and although I did not suffer the drastic things that this man went through, I do relate to the comment about losing everything worthwhile in life and living, one might say, only to eat. I was obsessed with food all my life, and I was really missing out on real life, on the people that I love, my family, my husband. I was always thinking about food. And so I did believe that it was impossible for me to put down my substances. I thought food was my God, and I was worshiping food as if it was my God. So I did feel that I did not have hope, and it seemed impossible. But this program is what turned me around. As I studied, it changed me from being a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck of a person who used to stuff food into my mouth as fast as I could, barely even tasting it. Very sick behavior. Now I've been transformed, and I resemble a person in recovery. And my new resemblance to people in recovery is that I now can understand that I have to address any buildup of emotion in myself. And anytime I am becoming self-centered and focusing on me wanting things a different way than they actually are, I have to turn to a power greater than myself. And that's the purpose of the book, is to help me to find this power greater than myself. And that can be many different things for many different people. And so my higher power is who I turn to. Food has become what it should be. It is energy for my body. It is fuel. It's something I do 3 times a day. I don't romance my food anymore as I used to. It is brain power. I am not drooling over what I'm going to eat. It is plain fuel. And every day I listen to Vision. Every day I get my dose of what I need to take care of myself and to relate into the reminder that I have a disease, an incurable disease. And I have to find moments of real contentment by connecting with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you all.
Thank you, Beth B. from Pennsylvania. Kathleen O. from California, you're up next. And Joanne B. from Texas, you'll follow Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California, compulsive overeater. So this man that they're referring to is Hank Parkhurst. And I always like to Google the people they're referring to in these stories. And Hank was an agnostic, and he had lost his job and ended up at Towns Hospital, where Bill found him in 1935. So he was one of the first successes, Bill's successes in New York. And a former agnostic, he came to believe in some sort of universal power. So he led the fight, according to what I have researched, he led the fight with the help of Jim Burnell in the debate about God in the 12 steps. And that's what resulted in the compromise of God as we understood him being adopted. So I'm grateful to this man because, you know, when I first came into OA, all I heard was God and I walked out at the break. So for anyone, you know, and now that has, I have no problem saying God anymore, but just very grateful to him for people who are atheists or agnostics, because this program works for everyone. And, you know, he also contributed in getting the big book written and published. And so in this paragraph, you know, what is the solution? Well, the solution is he accepted the plan outlined in this book. And unfortunately, he drank again after about 4 years. But, you know, my problem was, and I think in a way, I mean, I didn't like reading that, but, you know, a lot of us struggle in this program. We'll get abstinent and then, you know, we eat and we get abstinent. But, you know, we can really get this and hold on to it. And it really is working, this program. You know, my problem was I couldn't stop eating once I started. It was wreaking havoc on my life and my relationships, not to mention my body. So, you know, the solution was power. My problem was a lack of power. The main problem was in my mind. I was powerless. I was hopeless. And the solution was finding a power greater than myself that would restore me to sanity. And anyone can have the solution if they follow the plan outlined in this book. So grab onto that spiritual experience sufficient to bring about recovery. One of the things I read about Hank, that he was so enthusiastic in his early sobriety that one night when Hank and Bill and Fritz Mayo were driving down Park Avenue in Hank's convertible, Hank suddenly stood up, grasping the steering wheel in both hands with the wind beating against him, and yelled, "God, God Almighty, booze was never this good." And, you know, with entire abstinence and a spiritual experience from working the steps, I too can relate to that. I could easily stand up in a convertible and yell with enthusiasm, "God, food never was this good." And with that, I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. And I just, for those that may have heard that Henry P. and Hank P. are the same person. Henry P. is his name, and Hank is the nickname that he has. So it's all Henry P., Hank Parker. So the same two people that we heard this morning, just so that you know for clarification. Next up is Joanne B. from Texas, followed by Linda B. from Canada. And I wanted to let you know that in 6 short minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 1 and 2, page XXXI, the doctor's opinion, 4th edition. So stay tuned for that and get ready to share. Hi, Joanne. It's your 3 minutes now.
Hi, Melanie. This is Joanne B. from Texas. I'm glad I got to come today. It's amazing to me how my higher power has me hear things, maybe even different from what others hear, but it's just for, you know, where I might be or where I've been. And what's interesting is that place where it talks about from a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. It got me thinking that I've gotten to experience that. And then it got me thinking how quickly I might not experience that if I don't continue growing in, I guess, in program, if you will, but growing spiritually, growing spiritually. And if I set something down, or I may not lose my abstinence, but I lose my emotional abstinence. And it's real interesting because this is helping me see, you know, I continually need to be in the steps, continually need to be doing 6 and 7 and learning what that really means. And that has been eye-opening. Last week was very difficult, and I was struggling with attitude And what was so funny, I guess it's not funny, but what's so cool is this week, I just made, you know, I said, hey, you know, what's going on? And I hear a fellow say, you know, we just make a decision and we are we entirely ready to turn that character defect over? And sure enough, you know, as soon as I said, you know, went from I'm not wanting to okay, then all of a sudden this piece is back. And so I just wanted to share that because, you know, I think that sometimes I get this view, this black and white thinking I had this thinking that I would come into program, I'd do the steps, I'd be through by the summer, you know, the end of summer when I went back to school. And, of course, that wasn't it. And I'm sure my sponsor kind of giggled when she thought I was, when I said that, right? But it's a lifetime thing, and I've come to realize that, and I'm realizing it new every single day. And I'm just grateful for the meeting. I'm grateful for those who had vision to start it, and I'm grateful that I can be part, maybe not by service in the technical term, but by other ways of service I'm able to do. And I'm very grateful for you all. Thank you, Melanie. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. Next up, for 3 minutes before we open it up for additional comments, will be Linda B. from Canada. You're on for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open it up. We're on page XXXI, the doctor's opinion, first two paragraphs. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Yes, I am Linda B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Wonderful shares. I can almost just say everything that I've already heard. And the line that really spoke to me was, he accepted the plan outlined in this book. When I started reading the beginning of that paragraph, I go, well, that's wonderful that he's put the drink down, but that's just the beginning. And for me, it's the plan outlined in this book, the 12 steps. I have my favorite step, like I think we all do at different times, but they all need to be worked. And diligently, we can't become complacent. This is a one-day-at-a-time program. It is a one-day-at-a-time plan. It works if you work it. Is it easy? Not always. Not always. Some days it takes everything in me to continue working this program. And it's amazing what can happen when I finally admitted how powerless I really am over everything, people, places, and things. I am utterly powerless, and I really, really need this greater power than me to work this program. I cannot do it alone. I cannot do it without that help. It's so, so very important, and it's so humbling to admit, finally, just how powerless I really, really, truly am. And ironically, it brings me so much peace when I realize, finally, I don't need to run the world. I can just relax and take it easy and be with the God of my understanding who guides me and gives me the strength to move forward one day at a time. Abstinent. I don't need that food for comfort and ease. I don't need that food to make me feel bigger and better. I don't need that food to help me isolate and avoid people and sit in misery. I need my higher power to work this program, and it is a miraculous program, and I keep coming back one day at a time. And with that, I will pass, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. You're going to find us in the Roman numerals, in the doctor's opinion, on page XXXI, fourth edition, taking apart paragraph 1 and 2. Starts with what is the solution and ends with return to alcohol. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear your share this morning. If you give me your first name, the first initial, your last name, and your state, I'll take down the lineup.
Babylonia A.
Babylonia.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Mary S.
F like Frank or S like Sam?
Sam.
Sam. Hi, good morning. Okay.
Good morning.
Who else this morning? A quick star one. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Stephen G., Toronto, Canada.
Stephen G. from Canada.
Michelle E.
Okay, let's go. Oh, hey, Michelle E. Well, gotcha. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to go with Babylonia from California, Janice from Oregon, Mary from Texas, Stephen from Canada, and Michelle from California. So first up is Babylonia. Good morning. Star
Good
one
morning.
Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everyone. I am just so grateful for this program every day. Every day my gratitude turns deeper because I see how much I've changed and like I have become more accepting, less critical. My fear of other people has disappeared. Like I used to be very socially anxious and now I'm very comfortable with other people. And more importantly, like my relationship to God has transformed and I'm able to share that my faith with other people and help strengthen their faith. And yesterday was a miraculous day. I don't know why it happened, but I felt the presence of God so intensely. Like he was like the veil has been lifted between earth and heaven and he was right there with me. And I didn't know what to do because I was like, what should I do with this? What is God asking of me? And eventually I just tried to just lie on my bed and just enjoy feeling so full of love and peace. And that's what I did. But without the program, I would have never have felt that. So I'm just grateful to continue to keep growing. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Babylonia A from California. Next up is Janice K from Oregon, followed by Mary S from Texas. Hi, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K from Oregon. What strikes me, this is the doctor's story. This is the doctor's opinion. And I suspect that a lot of us have doctors who could make the statement, from a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a person brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. Well, we know that the critical issue is not self-reliance, but God-reliance. And he goes on to say, I talked with him for some time, but was not able to bring myself to feel that I had known him before. We change. We change radically, especially after we begin trying to live in these steps on a daily basis. And the contrast to that is, now this is page XXXI, back on page XXX, there's the statement about situations causing men to make the supreme sacrifice rather than to continue to fight. Sometimes it seems to me that the supreme sacrifice, it can be suicide, or it can simply be giving up, walking away from the steps, deciding this is too hard. I agree with the earlier speaker who said food was never this good, never. Thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. Next up is Mary S. from Texas, followed by Stephen G. from Canada. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary, recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. And I used to be that trembling, despairing, nervous wreck of a woman when I was into the food at my depths of despair with suicidal thoughts because I didn't feel like I had a place to go. But I had already been 3 years into OA and never really worked all the steps. So, but I can say today that I am filled with God reliance and contentment. And once again, I have about 120 days of abstinence, and my food has been really clean. And last Friday evening for dinner, I ate two items that I've eaten in the past and never noticed any physical reaction to them. And Saturday, I noticed that I was kind of like searching around the kitchen, and that went into Sunday and Monday, and I, somewhere along the line, and I was even getting restless in my meditations. I usually meditate for 30 minutes, and one time it was only 15, and I says, God, I says, this is just enough, you know. So I had a hard time sitting still. And I finally got around to asking, I think I must have asked God on Monday, but I never got to the visions meeting until Tuesday morning. And I was a little bit late. And you talk about God answering my prayer. The first two words I heard when I was connected to the meeting was phenomenon of craving. And I went, oh my gosh, that's what it is. Those foods set off that phenomenon of craving. And that's why I was restless. That's why I was searching. So as soon as it was identified in me, I just went, oh my gosh, that was it. And it wasn't a problem anymore. I could deal with it. It went away actually that day. And this morning I got up and I didn't have to have that thought of what do I need to eat with my coffee? You know, I usually get out of bed. I go, if I get up now, I have so many, minutes and maybe an hour before my husband gets up and I can do my prayer, my meditation in quiet. But if I wake up and I say, what's out there to eat with my coffee, then I know that I'm off the beam. So thank goodness that I'm directed back to this vision meeting where I hear recovery, because I want to stay recovered and be in that content state. And I could see myself on the back of that convertible too that says that abstinence tastes better than anything else in life, with God on my side. Thank you. I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Mary S. from Texas. Up next, Stephen G. from Canada, followed by Michelle E. from California. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So what's being described here, this is a world's expert in alcoholism at this time, who is describing his experience of the solution. And that solution has not come from him, and he has no idea how it's working. And he's in awe of it. There's a number of important principles in this particular paragraph. The first one being that the person needs to be hopeless. I needed to be hopeless. Tradition 3, which says the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Unfortunately, in my experience of my own disease and working with others, is that is not the only requirement for recovery. The requirement for recovery is complete hopelessness, because it's only in complete hopelessness that I was willing to do the first part of recovery, which is entire abstinence. And then willing to open my mind to the possibility that there was a power greater than myself that could solve my problem. And we see that in this gentleman is that when he's hopeless, he's willing to put the drink down. And then once he puts the drink down, as the doctor's opinion has said over and over, we must put the food down before we start to work the steps. That phenomenon of craving has to be cleared from my mind in order for me to access a higher power. And then he's willing to do what is necessary. He makes an inventory. He shares it with somebody else. He cleans up the wreckage of his past. And he seeks to help others and teach others how to recover. And then he seems to be a person brimming over with self-reliance. And for me, I was an absolute nervous wreck, trembling. And then when I worked the steps, something happened to me. And Silkworth is describing his perception of it, which is a man brimming over with self-reliance. But in truth, he's brimming over with higher power reliance. And that is the solution. And I have experienced that by the grace of this program. And I couldn't have done it without a higher power and without all of you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Stephen G. from Canada. Next up is Michelle E. from California. And it looks like time would probably allow us another 1 to 2 shares, so you might want to get ready. Page XXXI, Doctor's Opinion, first two paragraph. Michelle E., a quick star one. And come right in.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle E. in California. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, living my best life because today I have a relationship with power. You know, it's interesting because in reading this paragraph, I was reflecting on the times when I used to go into the rooms where there was four walls and there would be medical students that would come in and want to listen and want to get understanding. And then thinking about at this time, back in the 30s, or I don't know if this was in the 30s or 40s at the time that this appointment occurred, if you will, but that the doctor saw and understood the medical history and also understood the mental deterioration, and then that there was a mechanism in place for the 12 steps. And I just think that's so powerful because in my experience, fast forwarding decades later, when I went to the doctor and they diagnosed me with ventricular tachycardia while I was also suffering from plantar fasciitis, and then soon after found that I had sleep apnea, the mechanism wasn't in place for someone to share about Overeaters Anonymous. Even though that wasn't my experience in happening in the way that it did for Henry P., I know that those medical students are informed and they know. And so perhaps a conversation can come to someone else who's suffering in the medical community. And I think just another thing that comes to my mind too in my reflection of this paragraph is how science and spirituality, perhaps they weren't married, but they started to date each other. They started to realize that there was an attraction, that there was mutual benefit. I thought that was really cool. So with that, I pass. Thank you, everyone. Michelle E. in California. God bless.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Michelle E. from California. Let's take a couple more, two more people to comment on paragraph 1 and 2, Roman numeral XXXI. If you're interested, a quick star 1, please. We can grab up your name. First name, first initial, or last name.
Leslie W.
Katie V.
Katie V. That sounds great. Thank you so much. Okay, Leslie, you're up first for 3-ish, and then Katie.
Thank you so much for your service today, Melanie. This is Leslie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. And I think about, you know, is saying that he seems to have a very strange sensation. He knows the man by name, partly recognizes his features, but there all resemblance ended. I think about some days when I wake up in the morning and I go about my day, and I don't even recognize myself sometimes because I am so different than from what I used to be. I used to live to eat. I really did. And when I got out of bed in the morning, my first thought was, when can I get back in it? Just living from one bite to the next. Never really able to enjoy the present. You know, I don't recognize that person anymore. Not to say that I don't have bad days. Not to say that there are times when, you know, I have doubts and I have fears and I'm not always bubbly 24/7. But you know, the thing about it is I have a purpose today for living, and that purpose is not to eat. I don't live to eat anymore. And I live to walk my dog. I live to jump on the trampoline with my 7-year-old. I live to do TikToks with my 12-year-old and dance and act silly. I live to be a person that can be depended on and to be there for my husband and to really care about him, because there was a time when my husband would say that I didn't care, and that would be true. Because at the end of the day, when you're in the food,
that would be
and you're in the disease, thank you, Melanie, and it takes over, that's all you care about. So that I pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Next up is Katie V. that will round out the recorded sharing of our meeting today from New York. Hi.
Hi, good morning. My name is Katie V. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And the thing about these two paragraphs is, you know, when we were reading yesterday, we said we were doomed, right? And I always think, imagine if the book stopped right there. And then, of course, the next sentence is, what is the solution? And for me, the solution is a miracle. You know, I need a miracle to even get me in the door. And somehow I'm here, right? And then I needed another miracle, which is where I would get humble enough to listen to somebody else who would take me through this work. And the first time that I read the doctor's opinion with my sponsor, I went, oh man, if I don't do this, like, I'm dead. You know, no reservations, no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, I need to do this work because I am a compulsive overeater, like they describe in this book. You know, I ate like these people drank. And the solution for me is finding a higher power and then working the steps to have that entire psychic change. You know, and that's what it's talking about down below, where it says this man was brimming over with, you know, self-reliance and contentment. And I think somebody else said, you know, it looks like self-reliance, right? It looks like on the outside that I'm doing this. You know, my parents say they're proud of me, or my friends say, you know, you're still weighing and measuring your food. Like, that's so good. They don't understand that I have to in order to live, right? Like, I need to do this work. I need to spend my days working with others. Like, it's not because of virtue. It's because of necessity. It's vital to me staying alive. And thank God that we all made it in the door. And yeah, if you're new, keep coming back, and it will happen for you. Because for me, I didn't want to be here. I didn't think it was going to work for me. And I was here for a couple of months and I couldn't stop binging. And I was like, that's it. I quit. I'm done. And my best idea was to drink myself to death and eat until I died. You know, that was really my best idea when I was 24 years old. And 3 days later, I woke up and I was like, I can't do this. There's got to be another way. And I earnestly gave myself to this work. And I found my miracle, and I'm still here 2 years later. So keep coming back. It really does work. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Katie B. And that, pardon me, takes us to a little over the end of our meeting this morning. We're grateful that everyone was here today. So stick around. We do have at least 10 more minutes of meeting left, but we are concluding the recording now by having Stephanie L. read from page 164 and close us out like we always do. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.